She's our ace, our cleanup hitter, and our source for all things crew. She's Brewers reporter Sophia Minert.
The balls are all rubbed before the game with this Mississippi mud that every team has. It, again, has been part of baseball for decades.
Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited warranty on all new vehicles. Visit any of their 8 locations today, in-store or online at ewaldautomotive.com. Ewald Automotive, we make it easy. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Enter to win the Spring Baseball and Arizona Sweepstakes from Century Foods. Complete an entry form found in their weekly ad and bring to your local Century. No purchase necessary.
Great to have Sophia Minert joining us. She could have, guys, taken the week off. It is, after all, the All-Star break. This is her vacation. So the fact that she has chosen to hang out with us, I think, says an awful lot about how fun we are. Sophia, would you argue that that's the case, or is it because, in fact, you're being paid to join us once a week?
You guys are obviously the most fun. Best way to start the day.
Sophia, Manfred went to the mic, was it yesterday or the day before, explained some of the rule changes that he's thinking about. Are you which ones are you in favor of? The DH, the seven inning games, the no more runners at second?
Yeah, I mean all of those rules, right, were put in place last year for the COVID season, essentially. And the only one that stuck around was for the extra innings, you know, the runner at second and then the seven inning doubleheaders. I personally love the runner at second base rule for extra innings. I think people were curious how that was going to go. But I feel like how we've seen it play out over the last season and a half, I think everyone's come around on it. I think, you know, there were people that were in favor of it who had seen it in the minor leagues recently. And I think just now having seen it and having sat through 15, 16, 17, 18 inning games, I personally love the rule. I think it just adds that extra element of intensity. It does serve its purpose of like speeding up the games. You don't have these really long games, which the consequence of that is inevitably you have to make a handful of roster moves, most likely with your pitching staff, just to get to the next day. The one that did surprise me also was when he said he didn't think that seven inning doubleheaders were going to stick around. And that is something that, again, I feel like people weren't sure how it was going to play out. But then when you go through a day like that, you come around on it. So I don't know. We'll see. You know, none of it is guaranteed yet. But I do think of all of them, the runner at second base is probably the one that I think has served its best purpose.
Where do you stand on banning the shift? Because that was also something that Rob came down on, and he wants to ban the shift. It just doesn't make sense to me that you would. There's a competitive advantage that you can get by having this information and then using this information, yet we don't want you to use this information. It just doesn't make sense to me, Sophia.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, the Brewers shift all the time. They have, I mean,
is that the company line? Like, you have to be pro shift?
No, it's not. I'm just saying they're a team that shifts a lot and it works for them, right? Like, this is a team that I'm just using them as an example, right? Like, this is a team that specifically this year is built on run prevention, right? And that is part of it. Part of it is putting your infield and your outfield, you know, sometimes it's pitch to pitch, sometimes it's game situation, but that's part of defense, right? That's part of run prevention is putting your fielder where you think the ball is most likely to be hit. Like you said, taking the data of the tendencies of whoever is at the plate.
But I can't imagine. Oh, go ahead.
Will this do away with the 3,000 hit club though, Sophia?
Because that's Chewy's big issue, Sophia, is that like it's hard to compare the record books from yesteryear to current when the players now have the advantage of the analytics and then they shift and then takes away hits from some of the guys that might have gotten hits otherwise.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that could be a factor. To me, honestly, the things like the 3,000 hit club, that's more of a mark of longevity. Obviously, you're an excellent hitter, but I'm just not sure you're going to see players have the type of careers where they play long enough to have 3,000 hits. You know, like the Derek Jeters who play 20 seasons, I just don't know who, like, I mean, there are like really young up-and-coming players. Like, you look at a Fernando Tatis Jr., a Ronald Acuna, Juan Soto. Maybe they'll play 20 years, but, like, I think it's something like 13% of players who make it to Major League Baseball make it to 10 years of service time. It's a really low number to even get to 10 years. So I just think the 3,000 hit club, obviously you're one of the elite hitters in the game. That's almost an automatic Hall of Famer, right? I just think that's more of a mark of longevity as well.
I got to think, Sophia, that there are players out there, and I mean probably outfielders and infielders, who are going, part of my success is knowing where a guy is likely to hit the ball and being in position to make that catch. You know, like, so right. What does a Lorenzo Cain or a Christian Yelich think of this? Not that you know what they think, but, like, what do the players have any say in it, I guess is what I'm trying to get to. Do they have any say in, like, you're affecting our numbers, you know, Gold Glove numbers?
Right. Well, I think they feel it both ways, right? I think they feel it defensively when you're the one taking away a hit, right? Or when you're able to get your pitcher out of a jam because you're able to execute a double play. When you're aligned properly in the outfield, maybe you're able to make an outfield assist to throw out a runner. I mean, yeah, so it's like you feel it, I think, defensively of how that can help you win games. And then you also see the frustration from guys at the plate when they get hits taken away from them. Like, no doubt that is frustrating. They have expressed that. But I think you're aware that it happens on both sides, right? So, and honestly, this has just been part of the game for the last couple of seasons. I don't know, honestly, where the players, like where the majority of the players would stand on that. And I don't know how the players' union would argue with that because, like, DH, for example, you would think that the majority of players in the players union would want the DH, but that has not been the case. So, because they feel that it takes positions away. And they're obviously about getting more players into the league and more sustainable positions for players to stay in the league. So that's kind of what I've heard from them is that they just don't get the support within the players union for even something like a universal DH. So that's where I just don't know where the majority position would be on banning the shift.
Is money an issue there with the owners? Because obviously they would have to pay a designated hitter quite a bit of money, especially a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Does that play into that? Would the owners?
It could. I mean, it's possible. It also depends on who your designated hitter is, right? Like, typically that last roster spot is going to go, you're either going to go 8 relievers or you're going to add another utility player on your bench. That utility player could be a veteran player or it could be somebody who's making the league minimum, right? So, you know, $560,000, whatever it is this year. If you're getting, for example, Nelson Cruz as your designated hitter, that's probably going to cost you $10 million, you know? So it depends on who you go to in that position. You know, obviously you're going to want an established major league hitter, I would assume. Because that's their primary role. Whereas if you're getting by with an extra reliever or an extra utility player, that player typically isn't going to be as expensive.
Sophia, the one thing that crossed my mind watching last night's All-Star game is it was just fun. It was just guys mm-hmm. were smiling. I mean, they had, you know, when Freddie was mic'd up, that was fun. When Fernando Tatis mm-hmm. Jr. was mic'd up, that was a ton of fun. How can we get that fun translated to more regular season games? I understand you're not going to mic up guys, but it seemed like a lot of fun. And that to me is missing sometimes when you're watching game 102.
Right. I think that's honestly a problem that the league is struggling with. And, you know, on the broadcasting side, like how amazing would that be, right? To have players be more willing to do that kind of stuff like you see at the All-Star game. I think they started that maybe 3 years ago, if I'm remembering. I think for some reason, like a Bryce Harper stands out to me in that scenario. but you know, it's like we try to do some of that in spring training. I do think like hearing more from the players during the game, even if it was like putting on a headset, would be great. But I just don't know their willingness to do that. And what would merit that, you know, over the course of a regular season, like for game 102, like you said. And I do think like the All-Star game is a unique thing where it's competition, but right, it's low stakes competition. And I think the biggest thing you hear from players who go to the All-Star game is what they enjoy the most is just that camaraderie, you know, getting able to talk to, you know, your competition and these guys that you play against, and you get to pick their brains and you get to talk about pitching or hitting or whatever, just have fun, share it with your family. I think that's what they enjoy the most about the All-Star game is just that camaraderie with your peers. But I agree. I wish that like there was a platform where we could do more of that. I don't know if miking up players during games is necessarily the answer. But I would love for that, like that energy that you see, like the fun that you said, just like the relaxed kind of nature of these guys. I think it would be great if we could get more of that during the regular season.
Sophia Minert, one last question for you as she joins us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Today is National Mac and Cheese Day. Now that is the dish that is not to be confused with the quarterback in New England who apparently goes by the terrible nickname Mac and Cheese. His name is Mac. You can't be Mac and Cheese if your name is Mac. How do you feel about mac and cheese? Where do you stand on the dish?
I mean, it's a classic, right? I honestly don't eat a lot of it because I feel like it's one of those guilty pleasure things. But as a kid, I absolutely loved it and loved it when my mom would make it for us. I think it's a great side. I'm not sure it classifies as a meal, though I have no judgment for anyone who can dive into a good old-fashioned box of Kraft mac and cheese.
Kraft or Velveeta?
There it is.
Oh, Kraft all day long.
Oh, get Kraft. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That blue box. Fired.
How do you feel about putting stuff in the mac and cheese?
I didn't know that there was an alternative.
I didn't either, to be honest, growing up. My parents were not bougie enough to buy Velveeta. We were Kraft all the way.
Right next to the Kraft.
But speaking of bougie, did you ever chop up a few hot dogs, throw it in the mac and cheese?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yes. A little protein in there. Why not? I can specifically remember, like, summers of my childhood of, like, just imagine that diet, right? Like hot dogs, mac and cheese, and I'm like going and swimming in the pool all afternoon. I mean,
but you gotta wait. You gotta wait 30 minutes.
Down a couple of freezies. Like, is there anything better as a child?
Sounds like a great day.
Sophia, I'm on Team Kraft as well. These two are on Team Velveeta.
No.
Ashton and Dave are on Team Velveeta. Chew and I are on Team Kraft.
Well, I'm correct. So,
well, happy National Mac and Cheese Day to you, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your day, Sophia. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yep, thanks. Have a great day.
Sophia Minert from Bally Sports Wisconsin, who covers your Brewers with the best of them.